haven't got up long in my throat. I have a cold in my head. And you know what causes a cold in the head? Somebody gives you the infection. And a cold is due to some infection or other. Now, I'm not blaming any of you. I woke up yesterday morning with a sore throat, and I said, here it is. My first cold of this winter. And however, it takes a little while for that cold to incubate. There's an incubation period. And so I can't blame anybody here. I must have brought the germs with me. And we've got them on the plane coming from Timmins, or going to Timmins on Saturday evening and Monday morning. And we've got them in Timmins itself. I'm not going to blame anybody there because I'm going back this Sunday, and I don't want to have somebody to blame. However, I trust the Lord will help me to speak loud enough for you all to hear. If you don't hear, maybe you'll either shout out or raise your hand, and I'll do my best to speak a little louder. That's the second reason for having a short sermon today. The first reason, of course, is that we want to get away early. And the second reason is that my voice may not last long enough to give a longer sermon. But the sermon is based on the same passage as before. In Ephesians chapter 6, let's read a few verses again. We've looked at verses 10 and 11, and today our main passage is in verse 12. So let's read from verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. The Lord, I'm sure, will bless to us the reading of his holy word. Let's bow and ask him to do that. Let's pray. O God, our Father, we have read again these great verses from thy book, and we thank thee for them, and for the privilege of being here to meditate upon them, and for the Spirit of God, who is able to guide us into all truth and teach us from thy word. We pray that we may be teachable, and that he may speak to each one of our hearts as we meditate upon thy word today. Bless every one of us here, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's ask ourselves a question this morning. To whom were these verses written? Of course, they were written to the Ephesians and to a number of other assemblies gathered around the city of Ephesus. And they were written to us in our day. The Spirit of God has given to us these verses from his holy word. In the previous verses to the ones that we started reading this morning and each day that we've read, the verses were directed to specific groups of God's people, to wives, to husbands, to children, to parents, to servants, to masters. But these aren't addressed to any of these groups. As a matter of fact, they're addressed to all of these groups. Addressed to them all. This is not just for one group of Christians. It's for all groups of Christians. I know the word my brethren is in our King James version. I understand that that's not in many of the texts. It doesn't matter a great deal when the word brethren is used in the word of God. It applies to sisters as well as brothers. So this is addressed to people, all Christians of all ages. This isn't addressed only to young men who are capable to go out and fight. It's addressed to those of our age groups who are here today, those who are older in the faith, and they come with a very important warning for us. that we still have an enemy. He is still very serious, very dangerous, and we have to battle that enemy. We're going to think about that enemy today. You notice how verse 12 begins with the word for. That's a very important connecting word. You remember last night when we read verse 11 and part of it, we divided it into three things, three sections. First of all, there's a command, put on the whole armor of God. There's a provision, the whole armor of God. And there's a purpose, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And now we come in verse 12 to the reason for putting on the whole armor of God. And the reason God has that purpose for us, that we may be able to stand. The reason is for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's always important, whether it's in war or in sport or any games at all, it's always important to know your adversary, to know your enemy, to know the strength of your enemy, to know what power is weighted against you. When a team is facing another team, whether it's in baseball or hockey or whatever it is, the coaches get to look at the other team, see what are their strengths and weaknesses, try to align their team against that other team. So this morning we're going to look at the enemy against us. We thought of the person who is for us. We're strong in the Lord. He's on our side. And with him on our side, we don't need to worry about the enemy. But it's always a good thing to know who they are and to know what their tactics are. You notice that the first little phrase we read is, for we wrestle. And that suggests a close encounter. It doesn't suggest firing at long range. It doesn't suggest a nuclear bomb or even a gunshot. We wrestle. The devil and all his enemies come close to us. We are wrestling against them day by day. We wrestle. And it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, we're not fighting people. We're not shooting other people who are living in this world. Our adversary is not other people. I know sometimes the devil uses other people as his agents. But our enemy is not other people. We're not going to use a gun to shoot them down or a sword to cut them off. We're not against other people. We're not even wrestling against other people. It's not against flesh and blood that we're wrestling. As I think I quoted yesterday morning or evening, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the strongholds of Satan and his forces that are with him. So let's see who we are fighting against. First of all, says the Apostle Paul, we wrestle against principalities, against powers, principalities and powers. In other words, our battle is not against earthly beings, but upon supra-mundane beings. That's people above this world, people who are higher than the people in this world. They use humans as their agents and channels. But these themselves exercise rule and authority over various realms. We don't know all about them, but we know sufficient about them to cause us to trust in the Lord who has already overcome them. In the list of principalities and powers, there are included good angels, and there are included evil angels. Here, in this particular section, it's the evil angels. We'll see the good angels in a little while as we consider these principalities and powers. But here, we're thinking of evil angels in authority, under the leadership of Satan, the devil, that roaring lion that's against us. That's a change in the metaphor, actually. We're battling a roaring lion, but we're battling against principalities and powers. And you may say, well, shouldn't we be terrified of these principalities and powers? Shouldn't we be afraid of them? Not at all. Not at all. Well, why should we not be afraid of these awesome principalities and powers? Well, I'm going to suggest to you at least four reasons why you and I don't need to fear them. And we have to respect them for their power. But we don't need to fear them. And I'm going to ask you to leave your finger at Ephesians chapter 6 or whatever you can put on there, and turn with me first of all to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. The subject of this verse is the Lord Jesus. For by him, that is the Lord Jesus, that is the dear Son of God, the Son of God's love, the one in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, the one who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Well, what about him? For by him were all things created. He is the creator. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or, notice, principalities or powers. The first reason why we don't need to be afraid of principalities or powers is that our Redeemer, our Lord, the Son of God, is the creator of them. Why should we be afraid of the powers that he has created? He is all powerful. He is the almighty creator. Why should we be afraid of these principalities and powers? Well, there's the first reason. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And we read again about the Lord Jesus. And let's read just verse 15. That's where jumping into a context of the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us. Look at verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. These principalities and powers tried to destroy our sovereign Lord when he came to this earth. They tried to defeat him at Calvary. They put him on a cross. Who won the victory? It was the Lord himself that won the victory. He has overcome them. He has spoiled them. That means he has stripped them of all their power. He has stripped them of all their glory. We can't be afraid of them. When the Lord himself has defeated them, he has stripped them of all their power, and we rest in his victory. So first of all, we don't need to be afraid of them because he created them. Secondly, we don't need to be afraid of them because he has triumphed over them and conquered them. Second reason. Now let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we read something more about these principalities and powers. Ephesians 1, we looked at this passage before in our studies in Ephesians 6. Let's look at verse 20. Which he wrought, this is the mighty power that God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and powers. In his resurrection and ascension, the Lord passed through the domain and the sphere of all these principalities and powers that are against us. And he's now seated far above them all. He's infinitely higher than them. He's higher than the highest. He's higher than all these principalities and powers. So there's a first good reason why we don't need to be afraid of them. First, he created them. Secondly, he conquered them. And thirdly, he's exalted far above all of them. He's supreme. A good reason for not being afraid of them. But there's still another reason. Let's come back to the Epistle to the Romans. Romans chapter 8, please. Romans 8, a familiar portion for every one of us, I'm sure. Let's look at Romans 8 and verse 38. The Apostle Paul again says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else, any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There's a fourth reason why we don't need to be afraid of the principalities and powers, however great they are. the Apostle Paul tells us, guided by the Holy Spirit, that they can never separate us from the love of God. These principalities and powers will try to do that, to separate us from the love of God. But already we are told that their efforts are going to be totally in vain, for they can never separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For good reason, He created them. He conquered them. He seated high above them, having passed through their territory. And nothing that they can do can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's look at just one other passage before we go on from this. And the other passage is in the Epistle to the Ephesians again, and this time in the third chapter. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And let's read together in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. For we are His workmanship. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Ephesians 3, verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Here the principalities and powers again. This time, I believe, it's not the evil principalities and powers. These are the good angels. These are those who stand around the throne of God, and they're interested in the church, and they're interested in all that's going on. And what we do in the church is of concern to them, because we are told here in verse 10 that they know, they learn important lessons through the church of the manifold wisdom of God. They see in the order that we have, in the things that we do, when it's in accordance with the Word of God, the order that God has provided. Of course, if we're disobedient to God's command and do things contrary to that order, we're going to give them mixed messages. And that's why it's very important that we adhere to the Word of God. There then are the holy angels who are concerned with what's going on in the church. Well, there's the first group that we read of in this verse, and the second group is the rulers of darkness of this world, or we might call it the world rulers, because the word that's used really is the world rulers of this darkness, of this dark domain. We live in a darkened world, darkened by the night of sin, darkened by the wiles of Satan, and we need the armor of light that we were speaking about yesterday in order to battle in this darkened world. We need the armor of light, and the armor of light is mentioned here, although it's not called that here. It's called that in Romans chapter 14, chapter 13, the armor of light. We need to battle the dark forces of darkness, the world rulers of this dark domain in which we live. Now, it's impossible for us to know and appreciate and understand all these forces that are against us. Why did God not tell us more about them? Well, I suppose He has told more about them elsewhere, but He hasn't told all that we might want to know. Why not? Because He knows that there's no reason why we should know. He's given us all that we need to know about them. And He's told us far more about the forces that are with us and the power that is on our side and the armor that we have to battle them than He has told us about the enemies that are on the other side. But we know they are the forces of darkness. Our commander-in-chief is greater than them all, and so we don't need to know any more about these forces who are the forces of darkness. And I'm sure you'll agree with me that the darkness in this world is an ever-increasing darkness. It's increasing day by day. I think it's far darker than it was when I was a boy. And some of you will agree with me, I'm sure. It's getting darker and darker. And it's getting darker in countries like Canada and the United States and Great Britain, where once the truth of the light of the Word of God shone brightly. even from government. It doesn't matter, at least not in our country, in Canada, and not in the various governments of the provinces of Canada. I can't speak for the United States apart from what we see in the media and read in the newspapers. You can tell me yourself, but I'm sure you'll agree with me that the darkness is becoming more intense. And so we need the light of the will of God. And we need the light of the Lord Jesus in our lives. He is the light of the world. And we are to shine in the midst of this darkness. And then finally, he says, at the end of the verse, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Literally, that means spiritual things in heavenly, spiritual things. Or it could be translated, the spiritual hosts, not physical hosts. It's not material hosts, it's not carnal hosts, it's spiritual hosts. And they're in heavenly places. The word high places is a mistranslation. It should be translated heavenlies. As we'll see in a moment, there are other things in the heavenlies. And we're going to just look at that. But all these hosts, these wicked spirits, these spiritual hosts of wickedness, are arrayed against us. And they are among our enemies. I don't know how many there are. Obviously, each of these groups is in the plural, and I don't know how many they're amount to, but they're all arrayed against the child of God and the church of God. But we are far more on our side than against them. If God be for us, said the Apostle Paul, who can be against us? If God is on our side, why should we worry about those who are on the other side? God is the supreme creator. The Lord Jesus is on our side. We don't need to be concerned about these forces. But we do know something about the heavenlies. Heavenlies. As a matter of fact, the epistle to the Ephesians might be called the epistle of the heavenlies. The epistle of the heavenlies. Let's see who and what are in the heavenlies. Let's go back to the first chapter of Ephesians. And verse 20, we've already read it this morning. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. And he's above all these spiritual wickedness. He's supreme, he's far above all principality and power and dominion, might and dominion, every name that is named. He's there, he's in the heavenlies. He's gone there from the depths of the tomb after Calvary. He's passed through the heavenlies and he's at the right hand of God. Our Savior's there. Who else is there? Well, let's look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 6. And of course, he's speaking about those who were dead in trespasses and in sins. We looked at this, I think, on Monday evening. Well, those who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Where are we? Well, we're told in verse 6, he has raised us up together with the Lord Jesus. And he has made us sit together there in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. The Lord is there. And we are there. We're all there in heavenly places. But there's more than that. Let's get back to a verse that we read in our very first Bible study this week, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In the heavenlies. In Christ. Our Savior's there. We are there. And our blessings are there. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That our blessings are there. Out of the touch of all who would take them away from us. Nobody can deprive us of these blessings. Peter says they're reserved for us in heaven. Reserved for us. God is keeping them for us. Of course, we enter into the enjoyment of them now. The day is coming when he'll take us to heaven with himself and we'll enjoy them for all eternity. But they're there. And even these spiritual powers of wickedness in heavenly places, they can't grasp them because the Lord is over all. He's going to keep them for us. And he's going to keep us for them. Not only are they reserved in heaven for us, but we are kept by the power of God, says Peter as he goes on, to that day when we're going to be with him in glory. We are in heavenly places, and our blessings are in heavenly places. And now when we come to chapter 6, we discover that our battle's in the heavenly places. Our battle's there. In the heavenly places, there are all these hosts of wickedness, and they are in the heavenly places. But we are there, and our Savior's there, and our blessings are there, and nothing can harm us, and nothing can harm him, and nothing can harm the blessings. Even these spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. What a great verse that is. It tells us of the power of the enemy, but it's good when you realize that the enemy has no power over those who are on the other side, those who are on the victory side. And you and I are on the victory side. Charles Wesley has in a beautiful hymn summed up all that these three verses have said. We've been reading three great verses. Let me read what Charles Wesley in this hymn has said. You know it, I'm sure. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son, strong in the Lord of hosts and in his mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trusts is more than conqueror. Stand then in his great might, with all his strength endued, and take to arms you for the fight, the panoply, the whole armor of God. From strength to strength, go on, wrestle and fight and pray, tread all the powers of darkness down, and win the well-fought day. Leave no unguarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole, that having all things done and all your conflict past, you may overcome through Christ alone and stand complete at last. May the Lord help us to appreciate that although we have great and powerful enemies, he that is for us is greater than all that are against us. Let's pray together. O God, our Father, we thank thee that thou hast brought us into the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We thank thee that where he sits, there we sit. We were once dead in trespasses and in sins, but we've been raised together, and we've been made to sit together. And we look forward to that day when we'll be displayed together with him in his glory. In the meantime, we battle these foes that are against us, and we pray that thou wilt help us in thy strength to win the battle, to stand. Help us day by day to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand. Grant us thy blessing this day. Go with us, we pray thee, in all that we do. Bless those who stay here and those who go to Lancaster. Grant gentle mercies. May thy hand be upon us for good, and wilt thou grant that we may be brought back in safety, rejoicing in the fellowship we have enjoyed, and in the blessings that thou hast showered upon us. We ask thy blessing and give thee thanks in the holy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.